everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. This is episode number 194, recorded on Sunday, September 9th, 2018. I am here with one of my trusty co-hosts. One of my other trusty co-hosts is not here.
Not so trusty, is she?
Yeah, right. Not so trusty. And everything is Lizzie's fault this week. So, Tim, it's just you and I. Tim, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Excited to be
here.
You're
back home from traveling a bit. You were at Dragon Con. You were doing some work stuff, and now you're home.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good to be home. It's there's certainly a value to sleeping in your own bed again. And
Oh, definitely.
And fall is in the air. At least here in the Northeast.
It was wonderful today. So I got up this morning, walked outside. I'm like, oh my God, I need a jacket. This is awesome.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's wonderful. It's been like in the 50s most of the weekend, and it is just incredibly comfortable, and I'm very happy with it.
Yes. What have you been up to for television watching lately? Have you seen anything good? Anything new?
Not a whole heck of a lot, given the amount of travel I've been doing. I mean, really just kind of the usual stuff for me. Some BattleBots did finish up Voltron, which was fantastic. I'm really excited about it. I was glad to really happy with how the season wrapped up. I've not gotten into, I know Jack Ryan released and I haven't started to watch that yet. I know Iron Fist season 2 released. I've not gotten into that yet. So there's a lot of stuff that I need to catch up on. And of course, in the midst of the Jack Ryan thing, that's good. That's good. That's good to hear.
Yeah,
I've heard some good stuff about it. And of course, with where we are entering mid-September, the fall television season is starting up, so I need to really get some stuff finished up.
Our fall TV viewing primer, which we're probably really late on, but we should put some notes together for that at some point. Maybe next week we'll try that.
Sure. How about you? What else have you been watching?
I just finished Krypton, finally. That was that first season series of Superman before he was Superman.
It was on Sci-Fi, right?
Yeah, Sci-Fi had that. It was decent. I mean, it was fun. I enjoyed it. It left it open-ended. And I don't know a lot about the whole mythos of, you know, Krypton and where, you know, Superman's family before he left and so forth. So it was kind of interesting. I don't know how accurate it is to any comic book references, but it was fun.
Right. Okay.
My wife and I are still working on Dexter. We are almost done. I've got about an episode and a half left to go. Very happy with that series. It's 7 seasons. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of stuff where you're just thinking he's going to get caught, and then nope, he didn't. it's just good. It's really good. And I'm looking forward to seeing how this role is everything going to wrap up in the next hour and a half worth of television.
Good.
I did start the Jack Ryan series on Amazon. About an episode in, my wife wants to watch it, so I'm probably going to go back and start that again with her. So that'll be good. It's production quality is excellent. John Krasinski is his name?
Yep.
Yeah, excellent in the role of Jack Ryan. He's what, our fourth actor playing Jack Ryan, I think?
Quite possibly, yeah.
I think we had Harrison Ford, of course. We had Alec Baldwin, and I think Chris Pine played him in the latest movie, I think. Mm-hmm. But John's good in the role, so I'm looking forward to seeing that series. I had to watch The Greatest Showman.
I heard.
For our movie chatter show. You can hear more about that at Movie Chatter, so I won't talk about that here. But suffice to say, I'm not really a musical kind of guy, so we'll move on from that. And last night, my wife and I got a chance to get out and see Stephen Wright in a theater. Stephen Wright, the comedian from the 80s.
Yep.
Very monotone, very, you know, simple questions. He poses joke and you'd think about it for a second and laugh as he's starting the next joke because it took you a second to get it.
Nice.
But his stuff is good. I was when she said he's coming around, let's get tickets, I said, Stephen Wright, is he still alive?
Yeah.
Because I hadn't heard from the guy. He hasn't done anything in years.
Yep.
But he was great. Still the same funny as he used to be. That was awesome.
Good. So.
Let's see, box office update. The Nun came out this week and took the number one spot with $53.5 million.
Man, what a home run.
Yeah,
what a home run they hit with that. That's incredible.
Now, I've been seeing ads and stuff of this for, seems like forever.
Mm-hmm.
The marketing stuff's been out for a long time. I don't know if it got pushed back or what happened, but looks really creepy. I'm not a big jump scare kind of guy, so I didn't really get on my radar to want to go see this, but
right.
The imagery just looks really creepy, this nun.
Well, and this is part of a franchise. This is actually a prequel within the Conjuring series.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because it seems we're surprised every single time the opening weekend of a horror flick, and they do really well. And it's just, it seems to be a trend. I mean, they do fantastically. And
I mean, horror movies do really well in their opening weekend. I mean, a lot of kids go see them. They have a big following. They always knock it out of the park the first week, especially if there hasn't been one for a while. Yeah. There hasn't been one. So, I mean, I wasn't really surprised it did as well as it did, but $53 million, that's I think, higher than the estimates were supposed to be, around 40, 41 maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, the estimates were hitting the low 40s. Of course, doing some FML, sorry. Totally left me. Yeah, great, good, you know, radio silence is always a great thing. Doing my FML stuff, I figured it was going to do well because, again, horror tends to do well on its opening weekend. But I was thinking, okay, maybe high 30s. And I was shocked that this thing actually got into the 50s. It is the highest opener for any of the Conjuring series. And it's actually the highest horror take for 2018, beating out A Quiet Place,
which is really I mean, I'm not surprised, actually. I mean, you know, Eric may say he knew A Quiet Place is going to do phenomenally well from the get-go, but nobody else did but Eric, so we'll just give him that. But yeah, that was one of the things where it did word of mouth and did phenomenally well after the fact.
Yeah,
but yeah, opening weekend I think it didn't do well because nobody knew about it.
Yeah, Quiet Place had a lot of longevity, and I think that's what really beefed it up. Otherwise, a lot of horror doesn't have the longevity. I mean, after like week three, it's gone. No one's talking about it anymore. But in that week one, it has a pretty big pickup, like we got here with The Nun. So
the I just totally lost my train of thought. Sorry. I was thinking about something else about The Nun. Oh, you know, like we were talking about before we started recording with the Fantasy Movie League stuff, a movie like The Nun coming out, it's got a high enough number on it that you can't get it twice.
Right.
In opening weekend, everybody's going to take it. So it's really, you know, common denominator that everybody's going to have in their draft.
Yeah.
So it doesn't help or hurt anybody, to tell you the truth, but
true. I mean, it's a solid anchor, and it's funny because on Discord a few of us were talking about our picks Friday afternoon, and because of my travel schedule and such, I had not gotten to do a lot of research. So I didn't. And so like I knew I wanted The Nun to be my anchor. And then I was thinking, you know, looking at the numbers and thinking, okay, searching is going to kind of be a good repetitive fill. And then I had a couple of theaters in the end, which just kind of ended up being there. And it turns out,
which just kind of ended up being the perfect cinema. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it turns out I lucked out. And at least as of now, Sunday night, and this could change by the close of the box office numbers when they come out tomorrow. But yeah, right now as it stands, it's the perfect cinema. So for being the first week of this season in FML, I'm pretty darn happy.
Jerk.
Yeah. Oh well.
Okay. So rounding out the top five, Crazy Rich Asians drops down from its number one spot for 2 weeks in a row, down to number two spot. So they had a huge drop. It made another $13 million in its fourth week. Peppermint, the new movie with Jennifer Garner, excuse me. It didn't do as well as I was hoping it was going to do. I thought this was going to be a much better received movie than it was, $13.3 million. I don't know what it was projected for, but I know that's got to be disappointment for them.
I've not seen it advertised that much, though. That seems to be the really big problem.
I've seen a few ads for it, but the reviews been coming out for it pretty horribly.
Yeah. And even though it has Jennifer Garner, and I think she's fantastic, this is the first action movie she's done in a really, really long time. I mean,
I want to say I heard for like 10 years.
Yeah. You know, she's done some various rom-coms and that kind of stuff. And I mean, she's a very versatile actress. She does a lot of different things, but just not in the volume that she needs to really be as prominent as she was earlier in her career. And yeah, Peppermint just wasn't well received.
It's too bad because, the trailers did look really good. She looks like she's kicking butt the way she normally would. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like from Alias. I'll probably see it, but probably not until it's on video now.
Yeah.
It's only got a 14% of Rotten Tomatoes.
Oof. That's rough.
Yikes. Yeah. The Meg is holding in the top five here at number four with the 6 million, bringing its total to 131. Searching in its third week brought another 4.5 million in for 14.3 total. This week we have The Predator in the theaters again.
I don't know.
It's starting to get a lot of onslaught on advertising now for it.
Yeah, there's been a ton of advertising. I'm just still so ambivalent about it. It's like I love The Predator, but are they going to trash this thing or not? It's got some great names associated with it, which gives me a lot of confidence. I just don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. Lou, you need to go see it and then report back to me.
I do. Let's see here. I'm trying to see what they say on Rotten Tomatoes about it. Let's see. Currently at 63%.
That's not bad.
Okay. No. Somewhat mixed reviews. Critics are saying The Predator isn't bad, but it's not great.
Hmm.
Okay. Well, we'll see. My wife had a Halloween costume for me this year. I don't like wearing masks, so it probably wouldn't work. But it's a Predator mask with a priest jacket with a collar. Predator priest thing. Yeah.
That's horrible.
I was good. That's good.
Oh, that's horrible.
I know. I'm going to hell. I'm sorry. See, rest of this week, we have A Simple Favor. That's the one with Blake Lively and who's my girl from Pitch Perfect? Come on, Tim, help me out.
Oh, oh my gosh.
Yeah, you know, the cute one.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, why can't I think of her name?
Yeah, it'll come to us later. That's her movie coming out. Unbroken, The Path to Redemption. I don't know what that movie is. And then White Boy Rick is coming out this week as well. Later this month, we have A House of the Clock in Its Walls. I am really looking forward to this one. I hope this does really well.
Yeah, same with me. My wife wants to see it, so I know we're going to be seeing that when it comes out. Cool. So that's probably going to be the movie that we'll see this month, and then next month is just going to be solid Venom. Like, all day, every day, Venom, 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 Venom.
Yes.
Because that's how life will need to be.
I can't wait for that one. Let's see, we have Little Women, we have Night School, and Smallfoot rounding out the top names later on this month. Our movie draft stuff will be updated shortly. It's not updated at the time of the recording, but Tim promised me by the time we get this out there, it will be updated. So you can check out those things for our summer draft.
Indeed.
And we already discussed how Tim is just crushing it in the first week of the new fall FML draft, which, jerk. Anyway, I will. I'm in eighth place, so I'll take that as a good sign. I got room to improve, but I didn't overachieve like Tim did in the first week.
Yeah, don't count on my success to continue.
Well, you didn't do any prep this week and you still won the freaking thing, so. Anyway. Let's see here. What do you have in the news topics here? We have The Nun with the biggest horror opening. We talked a bit about this earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Beats A Quiet Place. And again, not a surprise that it beats A Quiet Place, tell you the truth, but I didn't realize it was part of the Conjuring series until you said that. During the box office stuff, I've only seen one of the Conjuring movies.
I don't think I've seen any of them. Most horror is not something that I go out of my way to watch. So
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big horror fan to begin with, but I like horror movies that are thoughtful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something that's going to have a bit of an edge to it that you got to kind of think about. I don't like the ones that are just either gore or just a jump fest.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
And just from that one scene in the trailer where you see the nun behind her in the hallway, she's holding a lantern and she turns around to see the nun and then another one takes her from the side. I'm like, oh my God, okay, that's definitely a jump scare that I didn't need. So yeah. Okay, it's one of those kind of movies. I don't have to watch this one.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Let's see, what else do we have here? Speaking of that, I think we're doing A Quiet Place this week on
Movie Chatter.
Yeah,
yes, so, you are. My wife and I still need to, she needs to watch it. She's the one who has the homework, but she absolutely insists that I am present and within physical reach of her for watching
the movie. Well, she said she's going to watch it during the day.
Yeah.
And Eric did say the only thing he has that he recommends to this movie is because it's all about the sound and how quiet the movie is, you really need to watch it in a very quiet setting.
Yeah.
To get the full effect, which I guess makes sense. So
my guess is that like tomorrow, as soon as she gets home from work, we're probably going to watch it. We had wanted to today, but we just ended up with other things going on today. Sure. So yeah, probably tomorrow.
My wife and I are doing it tomorrow night as well.
Yeah.
So we will.
And I'm looking forward to it because I've not seen it. And obviously we've all heard really great things about it. So I'm looking forward to it. It'll be good.
Exactly. We did lose a legend this week. The Bandit.
Yeah.
Has passed away at age 82. Burt Reynolds passed away earlier this week. You know, a lot of iconic roles. And it's been a lot of tributes placed to him on Today's Show and everywhere else I've been watching over the weekend. He didn't look that great towards the end, but seemed like a pretty cool guy. I've loved a lot of his earlier roles. You know, he turned down, I'm sure you heard this, Tim, he turned down a role of James Bond.
Yeah, which is interesting.
Yep.
Kind of some of his more recent stuff, and of course you didn't actually physically get to see him, but you did get to hear him because he did do some appearances in Archer, playing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, playing himself.
Interesting.
And a great characterization of himself. We tend not to cover a lot of deaths here across the Random Chatter Network, but Burt Reynolds has just played so many iconic characters, particularly in the 80s, late 70s and into the 80s. As you mentioned, Smokey and the Bandit, and there's just a number of others which are really just fantastic films. And yeah, I know have a lot of younger listeners who kind of Burt Reynolds may be a little bit before their time. And I'll tell you, it's worthwhile to see what movies of his you can find on whatever streaming services you might subscribe to, because they're worth seeing. You've got a lot of really great films of that time.
Yeah. I mean, you know, his breakout role in the beginning was Deliverance, which I think everybody should see.
Oh gosh.
That's kind of a classic movie. You know, Smoking the Bandit, more fun loving 80s type stuff. I'm not sure who it holds up today, but it was a guy in a fast car running from the police.
Yeah.
It was a very, very good comedic role for him.
Yeah.
He was also in The Longest Yard, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. He was in The Longest Yard.
In that? Yeah. Yep. And then the role he got a nomination for Academy Award was Boogie Nights.
Oh, yeah. Boogie Nights.
He played the producer. He was the last holdout, I guess, from when they did pornos on film as opposed to digital, and didn't want to go digital. And yeah, it's kind of a fun role, but he got an Academy Award nod for that. So, sad to see him go, but I definitely encourage people to check out some of his work and see what he's done.
Yeah, totally.
Let's see, a Wile E. Coyote movie's been announced by Warner Brothers.
Yeah. So this is interesting. I don't know that this is an expected move for them to start digging up some of the Looney Tunes stuff.
Yeah.
Which I was a big fan of as a kid.
I was a huge fan of Looney Tunes, right? Yeah. And Wile E. Coyote was one of my favorite characters. I mean, he was awesome. I loved him. You just always wanted him to get that Roadrunner just once.
Yeah. But, no, I mean, I'm surprised that they're not doing something that's heavier hitting. And I don't know if this is just kind of a one-off, or maybe they're going to see what the response is to it and then maybe just kind of start to do the series of movies based on Looney Tunes stuff. But I'm really surprised that we didn't get something big like a Bugs Bunny movie.
Right. That's what you think of. Confronting this. If they're gonna do this, and maybe you're right. Maybe they're going to start slow and say, okay, let's see how people receive this.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I mean, he's not the first character you think of when you think of Looney Tunes. Yeah. It's, you know, Bugs Bunny, it's Elmer Fudd, it's Daffy Duck, right? Yeah. I mean, those are the three that you're going to pick out first, probably.
And Warner Brothers has not done a whole heck of a lot with Looney Tunes. Certainly in movies, they did, what was the basketball movie?
With Jordan and... Space Jam.
So they had Space Jam. I think there might have been one other since then that maybe had some characters in it. So they really haven't done much at all. So this is kind of a new adventure for them. It is going to be feature length. It's rumored to be called Coyote versus Acme, which is just funny. I think, you know, that has certainly some legs to it. Of course, it's going to be animated. And the producer is going to be Chris McKay, who was the director of Lego Batman.
Okay.
So, you know, one thing I'm hoping, though, is that they don't change the animation a lot. And, you know, maybe it's just nostalgic to me, but the original Looney Tunes animation to me is like, that's the iconic animation. Right. And I know that they did like the young Looney Tunes, the baby Looney Tunes characters.
Oh, yeah. What was that called? I forget now. But.
So that was like a Saturday morning cartoon series for a while. And it was an updated animation style. But I really hope that they stick with something that's iconic. And I'm okay with them updating it a little bit, but I just don't want it to be something completely changed. Again, that's just me, and that's me being nostalgic because this is the stuff I grew up with. But... You know,
well, it's kind of like, you know, when they did the live action Jim Carrey Grinch movie, I'm like, no, that's not what the Grinch is to me. I didn't want to see it. It's like, no, it didn't feel right.
Yeah.
This has to feel like the original ones did back in, you know, back before my time.
Yeah.
Because these came out before me, Jim. I just want you to know that I'm not that old.
That shows the longevity of these because they came out well before us, and you know, you've got a few years on me, and you enjoyed them when you were a kid. I enjoyed them when I was a kid, but then it kind of seemed that soon after that they started to taper off, and of course the demise of Saturday morning cartoons really saw the demise of Looney Tunes to a great extent. I mean, again, they appeared in other formats and forms here and there, but we didn't really see those originals. And to be honest, I don't know that there's a place that we can actually find them. I don't think they're like in any streaming service. You
probably find some on YouTube here and there, and probably illegally, but they're probably out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, these were, you know, they go back to, they say the first appearance of the coyote was in a 1949 episode called The Fast and Furious. Oh my God, that's what that started? Okay, I'm sorry. and it was the first of 49 cartoons, which was never able to catch the Roadrunner. It's just, you think back to these going back to the 40s and 50s, like, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty groundbreaking stuff for that. Yeah. And I loved all the old World War II tie-ins and, you know, supporting the effort and everything. It was great. They just did a good job with it. And there was enough stuff in there that was fun for kids. And then the jokes went over the kids' heads, and the parents got.
Yeah,
you know, so it was fun to see that kind of stuff.
It's
so,
a great legacy of animation that did that stuff, because now, you know, you can watch a feature length film that comes out. You can watch The Incredibles, and the kids love it, but the adults are also entertained because not only does it have a great storyline and good characterization, but there are jokes in there and innuendos and such that completely over the kids' heads, but the adults get it and the adults enjoy it. And really, a lot of that started with the earlier Looney Tunes stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm looking forward to this. I mean, it's a surprise to hear about this, but I hope this spurs Warner Brothers to do more stuff. I hope it does really well. I hope we get, you know, everybody else from Foghorn and Leghorn to, you know, Daffy Duck, everybody else in different movies. I think it'd be fantastic.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Let's see here. Mr. Robot will end with season 4. I have not picked up on this since the first season, I don't think.
I haven't watched it at all. I know a lot of people are very dedicated fans to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a great run for USA Network to have it. But I definitely wanted to include it here, you know, just in case
we I think it deserves to be talked about. And I know I've seen season 1. I think I've seen most of season 2. But it just didn't stick with me. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But great cast, great acting. Just storyline wasn't quite where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
Let's see. A new Bond villain for Bond 25.
Maybe.
Maybe this is a rumor.
No, it's not a rumor. It was someone who was cast by Danny Boyle, who now is no longer associated with the film.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that makes sense.
So the the actor is Syed Tugmawi, who folks know he played in the first Wonder Woman movie. He played Breaker in the G.I. Joe films. He was Captain Syed in the Three Kings movie, and he played Caesar in Lost. He is French-born, Moroccan descent, so a lot of times he has a Middle Eastern characterization in the roles that he plays and such. He's a really, really great actor, solid actor. I'm hoping that he does stick with Bond 25, but right now everything is up in the air with it, and no one has any freaking clue what's going on. now that Danny Boyle's gone, I mean, it seems there was a lot of playing of favorites or nepotism or whatever, which is just, I mean, it's kind of a norm in Hollywood. I mean, you have a director who comes in who really likes an actor. They're going to bring that actor in. It's their favorite. And if that director goes by the wayside, well, then, hey, lo and behold, the actor who the director brought in may also end up leaving too, because that was their particular vision and it was their person. And, it, you know, since Danny Boyle had a lot of weight in the writing of the script for Bond 25, he had a lot of input into that. So who knows? We just don't know what's happening at this point.
Mm. You know, that's gonna be a bad feeling when you're an actor who's, you know, maybe not an A-list, or you're not being, you know, sought after for all kinds of roles, and you get hired on because this director really likes you and you got a good relationship with him, and then he gets fired or walks away from the role,
yeah,
or from that job. You're like, wait, can you come back? Because I really need this job. You
know, like, oh yeah,
that's gotta be a hard situation.
Yeah.
Our last news story here, Tim, I don't know anything about Serial, so I'm going to let you take this one.
Okay.
I've never heard of Serial, so you inform me.
Serial is a Serial is another podcast. It is up on NPR. And it kind of big news that they're being that they have season 3, which is going to be coming out on September 20th. The first season of it was like absolutely fascinating. It dealt with a murder.
What's the premise?
They have centered largely on murders. Well, the first one was a murder. The second one, So the first season centered on an individual by the name of Adnan Syed in Baltimore, who was convicted in 2000. For the murder of his girlfriend. And through the season, they examined a lot of legal documents. They spoke to witnesses and all sorts of other stuff who, depending on the episode you listen to, like you could listen to whatever, episode 3, and you're like, oh yeah, they totally had to convict this guy. I mean, all the evidence lines up. And then you listen to episode 4, and they're talking to a bunch of witnesses who are like, yeah, there's no way he could have even been in this location at this time because he was with me over here doing this on, you know, the other side of the city or something. So you're like, how in the world did they convict him? And like it kept going back and forth. Interestingly enough, the show actually led to a retrial, which is in process right now for this individual because there was just so much. It brought to light so much inconsistent evidence and testimony and documents, and they were even able to uncover things that never even made their way into the courtroom, which were very pertinent. So, and still in the end, in many cases, I think a lot of listeners were left with, gosh, I just still don't know. But it was just done incredibly well. So the second series or the second season was done on the story of Bo Bergdahl, who a lot of people may remember was an American soldier. He was captured by the Taliban, and it kind of told his story. I got maybe halfway through the second season. It wasn't very riveting for me, although a lot of people still stuck with it, and it did well. This third season is going back into kind of the regular criminal justice system. And they're going to be examining just like regular cases, apparently, that are being tried through the through Cleveland's criminal justice system. And apparently in this, they were given kind of some unprecedented access inside courtrooms, inside judges' chambers, discussions that happen in hallways, attorneys' offices, that kind of stuff, to really see what happens with a lot of routine cases. And they cite in here, and I'm reading this off of NBC News, anything that is like marijuana possession, disorderly conduct, and then they have some more serious things in here like felonies. And it's kind of an interesting uncovering of the criminal justice system, which can be very convoluted. And you know, we sometimes tend to see some lack of fairness because of either racial biases or sometimes lack of money. It's, you know, if someone doesn't have the money to hire a good attorney, you could have the most basic conviction on something, which absolutely should be overturned by a lot of people's eyes. But, you know, you end up serving a maximum sentence simply because you can't afford a good attorney to get you through it. So, you know, it seems that they're really setting up some interesting things here. So I found it, particularly season one, to be absolutely fascinating. I'm very much looking forward to season three. It will make its way back into my podcast feed, and I encourage people to give it a listen. And seriously, go back. If you haven't listened to any of Serial, go back to season one and give it a listen, because my gosh, you are going to be glued to your earbuds as you listen to this thing.
Interesting. Cool. I'll have to check that out. Yeah. I hadn't heard about that.
So. I mean, it's true crime. So if you're interested in any kind of true crime stuff, this is it. 'Cause it's legit.
Well, you know, and like you were saying, I mean, some of this stuff is kind of cool that, you know, you may get more stuff, you know, more knowledge than was able to be presented in court for whatever legal reasons. And, you know, it's not the court of law, but if you have knowledge that they didn't have, you're going to have a different decision than the jury had, more than likely.
Yeah, totally.
Cool. Let's see. Let's move on to our reboots, remakes, and sequels. A couple things going on here this week. We have an announcement for A Quiet Place sequel, which I'm going to watch tomorrow, the first one. So. Good timing, Tim. Good timing. Scheduled for May 2020.
Yeah. Obviously, we're not surprised by this. The first film, as we talked about earlier in the show, did incredible and has gotten great reviews. And we know that horror movies can build franchises. I mean, we were just talking about The Conjuring relative to The Nun.
Sure,
yeah. There are a number of horror franchises that have come out, and maybe this is only going to be one sequel. Maybe they're going to build more out of this. But there's an awful lot of potential, and I think at least the second one will probably do well.
Well, you know, if they keep the same team involved, I mean, you know, John Krasinski starred in it, directed it, and wrote it, I believe. Mm-hmm. And if they keep him involved, and it's his baby, he's going to want to make this really well. Mm-hmm. Not knowing how well this is going to do up front, and it wasn't expected to be a blockbuster hit, I kind of, now granted I haven't seen it yet, but I kind of would think that they weren't planning a sequel when they wrote the first one.
No.
Which is awesome, because I hate it when they go into it planning for a sequel.
Oh, yeah.
If they have to, now it sounds like he's building a world with this movie, because I did see a second trailer that I never saw before last night for this movie. That gives you more detail about what the world is like and why we're in this situation with the whole, you know, if they hear you, they hunt you type thing.
Sure.
So, you know, that gave me more information than I probably wanted going into the movie tomorrow night seeing it. But sounds to me from seeing that they are world building to the point where you could make sequels and have it be just as compelling. So
yeah,
that'd be cool. We also have some news on CW's reboot of Charmed. Now, was Lizzie a Charmed fan? Is she going to be upset that we're talking about this? I can't remember.
I don't remember.
There were so many things she was upset about that were being rebooted.
And I'll tell you, I mean, I liked the original run of Charmed. I wasn't like a super fan. I don't know it through and through. But I thought overall they had some pretty good stories of it. And it's, you can find reruns of it on all the time. And once in a while flipping through, I'll stop on something with it. Particularly if it was early on, I thought they did really well. So they are doing this reboot of it, and it is going to be, they're saying that the CW is reportedly going to be focusing on Latinx witchcraft and women's issues, which, I mean, the first one got into some women's issues, but I mean, a lot of it was broad-based, but some of the specific characterizations did get into some issues there. So, and I think that's great. I mean, obviously it's the series is led by three women, so that's pretty important. Mm-hmm. And the actresses are Latina. And so they're going to be looking at, and I apologize to anyone who I may be mispronouncing this, Brujeria, which is an art of magic and witchcraft according to Latinx traditions. So I kind of like that they're putting that particular spin on it based on the characters that they had cast and such. And that's making it kind of uniquely different from the original run. You know, we'll see where it goes. I mean, the original run had some really dedicated fans and it did very well and it went a number of seasons. But I just don't know that this is something that we necessarily needed. And regardless of who they cast in this, I just don't know that people are going to be into it.
Well, I mean, I think it's important that they're doing it different than the first series was.
I agree.
I mean, the first series I think did really well because of who was in it. I mean, you had Shannon Doherty, Alyssa Milano, and who was the third person? Can't remember her name. But anyways, you know, the three actors they had a good following, and they had following some other series.
Holly Marie Combs.
Okay. I would not have come up with that name on my own. Thank you. but, you know, it had that following based on them. And I think they did better with the show as it went along because they did do some issues. They were getting some real world stuff. But bringing into it this other aspect of witchcraft from, you know, Latin America, I think is interesting because it's bringing in different traditions than we know of here in the U.S.
Yeah.
You're exposing us to a, you know, more international culture, even though it's a, you know, dark witchcraft culture, but still it's getting into things that we may not have been exposed to, and it won't be as formulaic. It won't be as easy to spot what's coming up. I'm kind of thinking of things like when you look at movies like Serpent and the Rainbow, where it deals with, the occult from South America. Mm. It's a whole different aspect of it. You're like, oh, I don't know where this is going.
Right.
You know, it's like, this is something new to me, not just the area of the world, but the culture and the way they interpret the occult and supernatural. Mm-hmm. So I think this could do well in that respect. So I'm not saying I'm going to have it high on my list to watch, but, I hope it does well.
Yeah. I think the thing here is that they need to find their audience and be able to relate to them. That's going to be the big one. And it is tough. Like you said, they had, when they first started, Shannon Doherty and Alyssa Milano were big names. And the ladies who are associated with this now don't have that star power that Doherty and Milano did. And then, later on, Rose McGowan came in as well. And mm-hmm. she had gotten some pretty good acclaim from some films that she had been in prior. So it's going to be interesting to see how it goes. It is the CW, and the CW does tend to kind of have their fans tend to be a little bit more offbeat with a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And I say that with all the best intent of it. It tends to not be a mainstream audience, but they do very well. And the CW really has some great series based on that. So we'll see where it goes.
Okay, so finally we have the What Were They Thinking weekly segment for this week. And Tim, I'm scratching my head because I'm not sure why you put this in here. I mean, I heard the story on the news that the famous ruby slippers from The Wizard of Oz have been turned in or found by the FBI more than a decade since they were gone missing, right?
Yeah. This is
so. Where's the What Were They Thinking portion come into this story then, Tim?
Well, the What Were They Thinking portion of this is that someone stole them in the first place. This is this is one of three pairs of the ruby slippers that are known to exist. One of which exists in the Smithsonian as part of their pop culture display, and I believe the other two were privately owned. This particular pair was on display in a museum in Minneapolis, and they were stolen from there back in 2005. And so they had been looked for quite a while. They apparently got a tip, and it seems that there is there's a number of layers to this. Like, the investigation is still ongoing. They haven't announced suspects or anything, but they do have the slippers back. It seems, there's kind of a measure of conspiracy and extortion and other things going on with this.
Okay.
And the individual who actually owned these at the time that they were stolen no longer owns them, because he got his he got paid out by the insurance company, who typically, when something happens like this, the insurance company now actually owns them because they've given the payout. But he apparently has first right of refusal to buy them back. He was paid about $800,000 for them, and the last going rate on them is over $2 million. That was from the last sale of them a number of years ago. He, by the way, bought these for $2,000 in 1970.
That's a good buy.
So, absolutely.
Wow.
These are a big piece of pop culture. And, the Wizard of Oz is a big film for a number of reasons. And it's just like crazy that someone would think that they could get away. It's like stealing a noted piece of art. So mm-hmm. you have it, but and while I understand that there's a black market for certain things, do you really think you can get away with it or even sell it? I mean, it just like some of these things are just too well known to be able to go out there and sell. And of course you can't you know, you can't sell it on eBay. Again,
you could. You get caught, but yeah. You could.
Again, you know, you're going into the black market of things, and at this point, the black markets are so incredibly infiltrated by law enforcement globally. I mean, we're talking the FBI is monitoring this stuff, and you know, major police departments are monitoring this stuff all around the world. And so, like, to just be able to get away with it, and then mm-hmm. some people may say, oh, well, you know, they're going to have it for their private collection. Well, what the hell's a piece of art in your, quote, private collection that you can't display? Because, of course, if anyone sees it, they're going to say, hey, I know that was stolen.
Right.
So I just don't understand. I this is really the core of the what were they thinking for me, because I don't understand art theft. And this, to me, is just so tangential to art theft that, you know, it's right
yeah.
there.
But you're absolutely right. You know, a famous painting, you know, a famous statue, the ruby slippers, they're all things that you're right. You can buy if you have the money for them on the black market or, you know, wherever you're buying them from. Mm-hmm. You can't show anybody, you can't tell anybody, you can't put it up in your house, you can't yeah. post pictures on Instagram. And, you know, what do you do with it? I mean, I guess if you had that kind of money and you just want to have it, I guess you do that.
And like, perpetually, it's illegally to own. So even if you die and then your estate has it or your heirs have it or whatever, if it's found out about right. by anyone, you know, 80 years in the future, some Interpol agent's going to show up at your door and say, yeah, you don't really own that. Yeah. We're going to take that now and give that back to the rightful owners, you know, Museum X or insurance company.
I'm sorry,
X
your great grandfather, Tim Riker, was a bad man.
Yeah, yes. It's just, yeah, it just odd. I don't understand it.
It is strange. It is strange. Oh, well, I think that is bringing us to the end of another episode, Tim, unless you have anything burning you want to add in at the last minute here.
No, I'm good for the evening.
Awesome. So at this point, if you have any feedback for us, you can send us an email to randomchatter@randomchatter.com. You can find us online on Twitter. You can find Random Chatter as just at Random Chatter. You can find me on Twitter. It's at Lou Skywalker, Skywalker without the E. Lizzie, who is not here, she's still going by Nerd in the City, or she changed her persona?
She is still Nerd in the City.
Okay, so you can find her pretty much online at Nerd in the City. Tim, where can they find you online?
At Qui-Gon Tim. That's Tim with two M's.
We also have an Instagram feed. You can find us at Random Chatter. We do have one for our Star Wars stuff at Force Chatter, and I've got mine on there for my Star Wars toy obsessions at Six Inch Hero, which I haven't had time for lately, but I'm going to get back into that hopefully soon. So what else you got, Tim?
Well, certainly if folks want to check out a lot of the pictures that I took at Dragon Con last weekend.
That's right.
Head over to the Random Chatter Instagram feed, and there's a lot of stuff in there. I tried to capture like a lot of the great cosplay around there and some panels and some other stuff. It was a lot of fun. It was a great weekend. We just recorded an episode of Echo Base with Tom Harper, who is my co-host over at Dispatches from the Front, who is a Star Wars guru. Like, this dude knows everything there is to know about Star Wars. Well, I guess he's the third most knowledgeable third person.
Yeah.
sorry, Tom.
Ouch. Tim, that hurt. That was mean.
So I was there with spending a lot of time with Tom, who is a Dragon Con veteran, and he showed me around quite a bit. So on Echo Base, we talked a lot about the Star Wars aspects of Dragon Con, and Tom and I are probably going to do a Patreon-only episode, which will cover more Dragon Con stuff, kind of broad-based. So be on the lookout for that. Speaking of Patreon, if you are not a subscriber to that, if you're not a supporter of ours through Patreon, please consider it. Head over to randomchatter.com/Patreon. Even just $1 a month will get you full access to our Discord community. And we might throw the Dragon Con stuff out to everyone. If you get into like the $5 a month, $10 a month stuff, we have certain premium content that we throw out to those folks. But yeah, we might do the Dragon Con stuff to everyone. We'll have to see. I might be convinced of it. we'll see what happens. But speaking of Discord, which is our online discussion group, any contribution to Patreon, even just that dollar a month, will get you full access to Discord. If you're not sure if you want to join it or not, head over to randomchatter.com/discord. That will get you to our public lobby and our show channels. Like, we have a show channel for Random Chatter. We have one for Echo Base. We have one for the Tight Beam. We have one for Dispatchers from the Front, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so you can still catch up with all of our hosts and a lot of other fans and listeners in these rooms and talk about things. But there's like another 50 channels that just a dollar a month through Patreon will get you access to. You can also get information on us through our website. So head over to animachatter.com. We have all sorts of stuff posted up there. There's some occasional blogs and listener polls, and there's links to all of our shows and other great things. We certainly appreciate you spreading the word. Word of mouth is probably one of the best things for podcasts. So please tell your friends, family members, coworkers, anyone else who you know who is interested in general entertainment, pop culture stuff, the kinds of things that we cover here at Random Chatter, not only this show, but across the entire network. And please steer them in our direction. It also helps if you leave us reviews on wherever you get your podcasts, so places like iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. We just had in the last week 7 people give us reviews over on Guardians of the MCU, which we greatly appreciate, and they were fantastic reviews. There may have been a little bit of bribery involved because we did have a raffle.
Tim.
Look, I'm not above bribery. We had a raffle for a 4K Blu-ray digital copy of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Nice.
And so that's how we got people to how we encourage people. I'm not going to say we got people to do it. We encourage people to give us some reviews over on iTunes, which were awesome. I mean, they're all fantastic, and we greatly appreciate it. So please continue giving us reviews over there and here on Random Chatter and across all of our shows. It's a huge help. It helps our shows come up higher in the search results in places like iTunes. So when people are looking for a show, it kind of helps separate us from the rest of the herd a little bit. And it's just nice to get those good reviews. So please take a couple minutes, go into iTunes. Even if you don't use iTunes as your actual player for podcasts. I mean, I don't. I use other apps to do it. But, you know, if you still have an Apple device, you still have access to iTunes, just jump in there and write in a review. Takes you a couple minutes, and it's a huge help. And that's it. I think that's all I have.
Okay. Well, the music you hear in the podcast is The Perfect Place by Blue Stully. And at that point, we are going to close it down and come back at you in about a week. Thanks, guys.